I was planning on preaching through Galatians, the passage I was studying all week for the next passage in Galatians, but then a couple of days ago, I changed my mind. I had a different passage on my mind, and so it may not be a full-blown sermon, just some thoughts that I have on Psalm 23, if you would turn there in your Bibles. Perhaps the most well-known of the Psalms. You may know it off by heart. There are some people who read Psalm 23 and somehow come to the conclusion that it teaches that if you're a believer, you're not going to have problems in life. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the Psalm teaches the exact opposite. It teaches that we will have troubles and problems and difficulties in our life, but God is with us as we go through them. So let's read our text, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm is known as the Shepherd Psalm. The concept of a shepherd is, the idea of a shepherd is found throughout Scripture, all over the place. You have people who are literally shepherds right from the beginning. Abel was a shepherd. Jacob and his sons were shepherds. Moses, for 40 years, from the time he was 40 years old till he was 80 years old, when he lived in Midian, he was a shepherd. We find in the Old Testament that kings and priests, judges, are also called shepherds because they are to lead the people of Israel. And then that idea moves into the New Testament. We read Jesus telling the apostles to be shepherds. Basically, if you remember, for example, in John 21, when it's after the resurrection, Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, tend my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. In Ephesians 4, elders are called pastors, which means shepherds. That's the correct translation. And in Acts 20, Paul says to the Ephesian elders, shepherd the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. But ultimately, the one who is the ultimate and great shepherd is God and Christ. There are many times in the Old Testament where God is called a shepherd. For example, Psalm 80, speaking of God, says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. And then one of my favorites in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11, it says, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Now, the great thing about Isaiah 40 is where it's, in those two verses, it starts off by saying God is strong, God is powerful, with his mighty arm he rules, but then he says he uses his mighty arm to carry his sheep. He's a shepherd. And then if we move into the New Testament, John chapter 10, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, identifying himself with God. Hebrews 13 calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. And so David here was also a shepherd. In Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, Yahweh. We're not talking about any random deity here, not some generic, oh yeah, I believe in a God. No, we're talking about Yahweh, the God of Israel. He is my shepherd. The one who's identified as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And he says, notice he doesn't simply say God is a shepherd or God is the shepherd. He says God is my shepherd. I'm his sheep. He is my shepherd. Not everyone can say that. Let me give you a bunch of examples. Pharaoh. Could Pharaoh say the Lord is my shepherd? He was like, who's the Lord? Never heard of him. Could the Egyptians or the Amorites or the Jebusites or the Canaanites, when God destroyed them, say the Lord is my shepherd? No. Not everyone is in God's flock. Jesus himself, in John chapter 10, speaking to some unbelieving Jews, he said, you don't believe my words because you are not my sheep. So not everyone is God's sheep. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. So this psalm is for believers. This psalm is addressed to those who are God's sheep. And God is their shepherd. And yes, if God is our shepherd, that means that we are sheep. If you think about sheep, they're kind of dumb. Well, actually very dumb. Probably one of the most dumb animals that there are. They're helpless, defenseless. Sheep need a shepherd. Otherwise, they're just going to wander off and get killed somewhere on their own. They don't have big teeth. They don't have big claws. They don't have a sense of direction. If a wolf comes after them, they just run around in circles. And the wolf just watches them until they get tired and then eats them. They're not the cleverest animals in the world. It's not very flattering to be called a sheep. But we are. That's why unbelievers don't like that. Unbelievers don't, I'm not a sheep. I'm powerful and strong. I'm self-sufficient. God is not my shepherd because I'm not a sheep. Even though they don't realize that every breath they take is by his grace. But we are sheep and we need a shepherd to take care of us and lead us. And that's what the passage is all about. We are not self-sufficient. And we need the shepherd to take care of us. That's why the entire psalm is, he leads me. He restores me. You comfort me. You are my helper. Because we are incapable of doing these things on our own. So in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's kind of old English. What it basically means, I shall not lack anything. That's the point of the passage. If God is my shepherd, I will not lack anything. Now, you may not feel like that. Sometimes we say, it doesn't feel that God gives me everything that I need. It doesn't feel like God is supplying me with everything that I need, because I think that there are a lot of things that I need that I don't have. And if I had these things, my life would be better. My life would be easier. My life would be more comfortable. But our shepherd doesn't give us the things that we think are best for us. He gives us the things that he knows are best for us. And he provides us with all of our needs. And you may say, I don't know about that, Nico. I don't know if God really does provide all that we need. Now, I'm talking about believers now. I'm not talking about unbelievers. But some people may say, I don't know if God really does provide everything we need. Well, let's think of the alternative for a moment. Let's assume that God does not provide everything that we need. Why not? Let me give you some options. One option would be, even though we need something, let's assume that we need something and God is not giving it to us. One option would be that he doesn't know what we need. If I need it and he's not giving it to me, does that mean that he doesn't know what I need? Well, no, God knows everything. That would be heresy. Second option would be, well, he knows what I need, but he is incapable of giving it to me. Well, that would be a problem again. That would also be heresy, because God is all-powerful. Another option would be, God knows what I need. He can give it to me, but he doesn't want to give it to me. Now, that would be a problem. Imagine a father or a shepherd, a father who has a child, knows that he needs something and can give it, but then doesn't give it. That doesn't sound quite right. A shepherd knows that his sheep needs something and can give it, but doesn't give it. That kind of sounds cruel. The only option that I can see is what David does say here, that I do not lack anything, which means that God does give us everything we need, even when it's not what we wanted, but we got it. Even when we wanted something and we didn't get it. It doesn't say God provides all our desires, everything that we need. And I'm not just talking about things that are good. Sometimes we desire things that we think are good, and there's nothing sinful about them. But God, who knows everything, knows what is best for his children, and he does not give his children bad things. Romans 8:28 says, all things work for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, it may not seem good to us at the time, but the shepherd knows what he's doing. So verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Again, this is the picture of the sheep who the shepherd provides for him. He takes him to green pastures. He can eat. He takes him to still waters where he can drink. It says he lies down in the green pastures. Sheep will only lie down once it's satisfied. Otherwise, it'll go around eating. But of course, God does not only provide us with physical needs. He also provides us with spiritual needs. Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And so verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. But here we read that when we do, God restores us, brings us back. We're told that he leads us into paths of righteousness, which means that even the righteous deeds that we do are only thanks to God who leads us there. And then verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, again, we're still viewing ourselves, or David is still viewing himself as a sheep. And a sheep may have to go from one place to another. Has to go from one place to another. It may be in a good place where there's a lot of food, but then they're done there, and they need to move to another good place where there is food. But in moving from one place to the other, they may go through some rough patches. They may go through some difficult areas. They may go through dark valleys. They may go through dangerous situations where death is looming. They may go through places where there are predators, where they're hiding in the rocks. They may go through places where there are wolves that can attack you and kill you, and they're far more powerful than you are. And it's not going to be enjoyable. Coming to Christ, being in Christ, does not mean that everything that we're going to go through is going to be easy. It does not mean that everything that we're going to go through is going to be enjoyable. And there are going to be difficult days, and there are going to be dark days, as he says, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Job 14, Job who went through more than all of us put together, Job 14, he said, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Moses said, our days are only labor and sorrow. And sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes I feel like that. You can ask Tavula. She has to live with me. Some days are not what we want them to be. But David says, notice what he says. Even though I go through all these things, I will not fear. Why? Because I'm strong, because I'm courageous, because I can handle it. No. That's not what he says. You're a sheep. You're not strong. How are you going to handle it? He says, I will not fear because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If I fall off a cliff, he has his staff to grab me around the neck and pull me back. If I start straying, he's going to lead me back to the fold. If there's a wild animal that's going to come out and eat me, he can bring out his rod and beat it. He's the one who protects me, and therefore I know that even though I am going through dark times, he is there. Psalm 30 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm reminded of the story in the Gospels where Jesus is on a boat with his disciples and on the lake Galilee, and a storm comes up and Jesus is exhausted and he's sleeping in a pillow, and his disciples are freaking out and they think they're going to die, and they go to him and they say, Master, don't you care? I love those words. Well, don't love those words. It's interesting. Don't you care that we're going to die? And he wakes up, wipes his face. He says, stop. Everything just stops. Now they're more afraid of him than they are of the storm. And I'm thinking, did you really think that God was going to allow his long-awaited Messiah and his 12 apostles to die in a lake? No, he does care, even though we sometimes don't know why things happen or why things are going the way they are. He does care, and he is in control of it. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The metaphor changes a little here because you don't usually prepare a feast for a sheep, but it's okay. Here it is simply speaking more of the blessings of God, of the Lord, and they are pictured as a joyous feast, a table where you get to eat. He anoints your head so you can smell good. Your cup is overflowing so you can drink as much as you want. But notice one thing. All of this is done, it says, in the presence of my enemies. Even though I belong to the Lord, even though I am a sheep of the shepherd, I still have enemies. There are people who hate me. There are people who don't like me. There are people who ridicule me. There are people who make fun of me because I'm a Christian. Do you believe the Bible? There may be people who want to harm me. And we see the enemies and say, why are they there if God is with me? Lord, where are you? Why am I going through this? Why are the enemies there surrounding me? But in that situation, the Lord says, calm down. Sit down and eat. Because I've prepared a table for you. I know the enemies are there. I know. But I'm in control of it, nonetheless. And verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Hebrews 13, God promises his people that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God does show his goodness and his mercy to undeserving sinners throughout our lives. And we will not be in need. We will not lack anything because he provides. We will not fear anything because he protects us. And even when we do come to the end of our days, and even when we do die, he will still take care of us, and he will still shepherd us, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray.